Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today I have another remote guest. About a month ago, if you saw the episode on the debugger canvas, I had Cale Rowan from North Carolina, and so that worked so great, I thought we'd do it again today. My guest today is Nadine Fox. Hi, Nadine.
Hello, Robert.
Nadine is a designer with Macadamian, a top-flight design firm in Canada, and Nadine is in Quebec. Notice the correct pronunciation. I didn't say Quebec. I said Quebec because I am
very
metropolitan.
Well done.
And I went to school in Quebec. I went to McGill, so I know
hey,
I know how to talk like an Anglophile Quebecer.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. The reason I asked Nadine to come on the show today is so that we could talk about designing Windows 8 apps. And we're going to base our discussion on an expense reporting app that I've built. And before you start asking me when's that app going to be available, very, very soon. I am about a week away at this point from being able to make it publicly available. I want to spend a little bit more time working on some of the design aspects of it, implementing the design that Nadine came up with, and do a little debugging and then make it publicly available. So watch this space for when the app's available. I'll talk about it on Twitter. I'll talk about it on my blog. I will update the notes to this show when it's available. So very, very soon. So I built an expense report app, and I had Nadine and the good folks at Macadamian help me design it. And what we wanted to do in this episode is discuss our learnings from design. You know, me as a developer, you folks watching as developers, we know what code to write. We know, and this is a XAML with C# app, so we know XAML, we know C#, we know how to talk to services and whatnot. But how do you build an app, a line of business app, that adheres to the Metro guidelines? What are some of the Metro guidelines, and how do you make an app that adheres to them? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Until we're done. I don't want to put a hard stop on it, but we get approximately 52 minutes.
Okay,
so just a quick review. What does the app do? You can kind of see it on the screen. It gives you the ability to create and submit expense reports. So you'll create new expense reports from existing charges or new charges. You'll be able to save expense reports. If you keep working on them, you'll be able to submit them to your manager, and then the manager can approve or reject them. And that's basically what the app's going to do. And so let's talk about when we first decided how to build the app. The first thing we talked about was navigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The actual application framework and navigation.
So we're going to reference some design docs here. So Nadine, give us a quick overview here of what we were thinking.
Yeah.
And let's
so
call you up so people can still see you.
Oh, hello. So yeah, this is actually not what the current application experience is about. This was actually a first initial attempt at looking at the overall navigation, and it was really adhering to the documentation that was currently available on the Metro, basically UI guidelines. And it was interesting actually coming in and actually taking a look at the guidelines. There weren't a whole lot of applications, sort of like enterprise-type applications. Ours is an enterprise-type application in terms of it. We're doing stuff with data. It's not totally about content. The user actually has to sort of input data, submit data. So there's still not a whole lot out there that sort of kind of following models that we could use. And so basically Metro guidelines have two different formats of kind of high level navigation. One is the hub and spoke and the other one is flat navigation. So coming in right away, kind of did a number of options and honed in quite quickly on this hub and spoke. And so basically just kind of outline kind of areas of the application. So the main home page is called the hub. The hub is level one. And from that, from the inception of this, sort of we had this notion of, oh, there being different sections. It's all about content, where we have a section for outstanding charges, a section for the different types of expense reports, ones that have been saved, ones that are sort of pending approval, and if you're a manager, other ones that somebody have submitted, and then we had news and FAQ. So basically, it was kind of interesting. So it's sort of taking the guidelines and sort of coming in and trying to put a structure around our initial inception of this application.
Right. And then what the app would have wound up looking like, so let me come in here.
So this is the hub. This is how the hub. Right. Yeah, so get here from the start.
Yeah, sorry, so I actually mocked up what the app would have looked like if we had done the traditional hub and spoke, just used the basic Visual Studio Grid app. And, you know, our initial thought was it would look like this. You come in and you can see your unreconciled charges and you can see every one of them. And then you scroll over to the right to see your unsubmitted expense reports and then your pending reports and then the reports that need approval. And, you know, this is what the newsreader apps look like. There are a lot of apps that look like this. And your first thought might be, well, I'm going to build a grid app like this and use the hub and spoke. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we first came up with. And then, you know, thinking about it, my first thought was, well, what happens if you have like 100 charges? What if you go on 3 different outings? Let's call you back. I want to make sure that you get plenty of FaceTime here. What happens if you go on 3 trips and you eat lunch 3 times, you take cabs, you're all over the place, and by the time you get around to filing your expense reports, you have 100 unreconciled charges. You got to scroll all the way over to the right to get to your unsubmitted reports and then keep scrolling to get to your pending reports. And, you know, I thought, well, there's that issue. And then secondly, I thought about it. When I go to file an expense report today, I never browse the unreconciled charges. I have receipts for those. I obviously save my receipts, and I have a stack of receipts, and I browse through those. And then when it's time to create an expense report, I'll go and check to see if all of those credit card receipts, if all of those charges have come through. The way we do expenses here is we use our corporate Amex, and then that's stored in, I believe it's stored in Dynamics, but when I go to the current web page to do expenses, I can see a list of my unreconciled charges. And so I will take a quick look at those to see if all of the charges have come in. So for example, I got back from Tech Ed Amsterdam and I didn't want to file the expense report till the hotel charge came in. But other than just looking to see if a particular one is in, I never just browse the list. So it kind of made no sense.
That's a fun thing to do. No?
You might want the ability to do that, but I didn't think that you'd want it on the home page. So I guess the advice there would be to think about the use case. The use case argues against browsing through your unreconciled charges. And so what we thought about was, well, maybe we should do something. Nope, that's not the one I want. I wanted you. There we go. Maybe we should do something that looks a little bit more like this. See an overview of the charges you have so that you can quickly determine if you, in fact, need to file expense reports. And then you're likely going to want to look at saved reports and pending reports and reports that need notifications. And so what we wind up with in the app is not this. Let's close this. Let's get the app up. You wind up with this, which winds up being a dashboard. This tells you everything you need to know. Are there unreconciled charges that I need to worry about? What are my unsubmitted reports? What are my pending reports? Now, if I have 5 or 6 unsubmitted reports or 6 or 7 pending reports at the same time, that's not an awful lot of data to scroll through. But I can see here that I have 2 unreconciled charges for $687, and I can see that 2 of them are late. Late defined for the purposes of the app here as being 45 days or more, because at that point Amex can start charging me a late fee. So that's bold with a red exclamation. Old is more than 30 days, but less than 45. That's a violation of corporate policy. But when I'm late, Amex can start charging me. I know that I have 1 unsubmitted report, which even though I last saved it on the 16th, has a charge in it that's more than 45 days old. So that's got an exclamation mark. And then I see that I've got 2 pending reports with no money owed to me. All of the money on these reports is owed to Amex. So I'm distinguishing between a report that needs approval where I'm getting money to pay me back for something I paid in cash or my own credit card versus a report where the money is going to Amex. And then if I'm a manager and the app is hard-coded to pretend I'm my manager when I click on my name, And then I see that I have two reports needing approval. There's the total. There's when they were submitted. And we might use color coding on this if we wanted to alert the manager that reports are, you know, 7 days old or 14 or whatever. I think our policy here is you're pretty much supposed to approve all reports within 3 days. So I didn't color code these. So, you know, sticking to a couple of the guidelines of fast and fluid and content over Chrome, you know, this is fast and fluid because I can start the app, see what I need to see, and if there's nothing to do, I get out. If there is something to do, then I move on. And content over Chrome, there's no menus here. You know, nothing shows up except the data that I need to realize whether or not it's time to file an expense report.
I think one of the major things there is that basically the sort of first pass through was almost like, okay, we've got this stuff and we're sort of plugging it into sort of the rules that go along. And then from that sort of initial kind of, you have to do something basically the first go around, and then really taking a look at the actual content that we're surfacing on that sort of the main home hub page, mm-hmm. in terms of what does the user really need to know?
Exactly.
You know, just in terms of like, oh, these are the ones that are sort of pending in terms of money that's owed to you. You don't really care if the company, you're, you know, Microsoft is going to get the money. Well, you kind of do, but
oh, I
you know,
care,
in terms
but...
of you as an employee, but you, how much money are you going to get back from
exactly.
that business trip that you took? So, but in terms of an exercise coming through, I think one of the things is to really, I mean, you do follow the guidelines, but at the same time, is really think about what the user's experience in terms of what do they really need to know, what do they need to do, and how do they sort of get to that next step? If you go back to sort of the PDF behind the scenes, I think we sort of moved along, but the next level down and after the hub is the actual sort of what is called a section page. And so,
oh, this one here.
Through, yeah. So
yeah.
Here was an original thing of like, okay, we have we now call them unreconciled charges, outstanding charges. Here are all the charges, you know, and there's each individual one.
Yeah.
Now we just sort of surface it up and say, these are the, you know, these are your old ones, these are your new ones, and you'll see in a sec the actual experience that we have now for the section is kind of taking you into what you need to do with this charge.
So a page like this would be very useful for kind of reporting. So if I want to see my distribution of charges over time, or if I'm particularly a manager and I want to know, hey, that green guy, what does he typically spend on hotel? What does he typically spend on food, right? Or, you know, I want to see by day what my spending was. Presenting all of the unreconciled charges, all of the charges, as well as the expense reports would be very useful from a reporting standpoint. And I would love at some point to get these icons in there, but I didn't really have time to create icons for every type of expense, but I think they're pretty cool. So this would be a good thing to have, you know, particularly the ability to sort by date or by type or by amount, and then you'd be using semantic zoom on a page like this. You pinch in and you see the summations, you zoom out to see the individual ones. So I think this would make a great page to add to the report, but it's really kind of a secondary thing beyond the create report, submit report, approve or reject report. Expense report. So when we add reporting, I would definitely go back and do pages like this, not only for the charges, but also for the reports, and then give the managers the ability to, you know, look at reports by employee. There's all kinds of analytics you could do in reporting where this would be useful. It just didn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense on the main page. Okay, so now I've come in. Let's full screen this for a second. And now I see that I want to create a report. So the next thing I'm going to do is create a report. I can tap either on this heading here or on the charges and go directly to the create a new report page. Or I also added an app bar button to do that. I wanted to make it crystal clear how you get in. So now I'm going to want to be able to browse my charges. Now I want to see the individual charges, and they show up in this list here. And if we look, if we look at the design, I do want to do a little bit better job of making these stand out from each other. This is a little bit flat right now. So
yeah, just so people know, basically what we were focusing on initially here is sort of the interaction, sort of where the content is laid out, how it's laid out, how it's sort of positioned, and basically also sort of one thing we'll get to is sort of the actions, the buttons and such that you can do. That was a challenge as well.
Right. So coming in again, content over Chrome, there's no Chrome. There's no except for the close button, which means I don't want to do anything with this report. There are no buttons here because I want to be able to come in, browse. I come in and say, oh, my hotel's not in here yet. I'm not going to file this yet, so I leave and I'm done. Or if I select one of these, then the app bar pops up automatically and I can select all charges. I can clear the selection, select one. I can add it to the expense report. It disappears from the charges. It goes in here. If I select this, then I have the ability to edit it. I also have the ability at this point to remove the charge. And Nadine, this, you'll notice that this was just added this week. The remove charge doesn't show up if you're not working on a charge in the report. So mm-hmm. I've made the app bar a little bit more context sensitive. If I then go
a surprise meeting up, it's like, oh, Robert did this.
And then add. I add the charge, and now when I select this, the only thing in the app bar is to remove the charge. I'm not looking at other charges, so I can now remove the charge. So the app.
Yeah, the main thing is the structure here, something yeah. that's kind of new in terms of we haven't seen in a Metro application before, I think, with this two-panel display, right? Mm-hmm. So early on, we decided to basically have these two sections. And when you first come in, you have your sort of your outstanding slash unreconciled charges, and then you have your sort of report body in terms of your creation, your actual report creation experience. And right. so one of the challenges we had there early on was, with the actions in the app bar and how to sort of kind of divvy that up to a certain extent. You know, at one point we thought, oh, if you're in focus in one side of the panel, the app bar will pertain to that. If you're in focus on the other side, app bar will contain to that. But then that doesn't really make sense because we'd have sort of times when kind of both are sort of in focus to a certain extent. So, Robert, if you want to talk to what we've done.
So we had thought about, you know, if I'm in here, let's say I'm creating a new charge, would this right-hand side of the screen, you know, would this be modal? Would this be active here? Or as I'm, you know, selecting charges, would this part of the screen disappear? And that's kind of the way the calendar app works, for example. So if we call up calendar, here's my calendar. If I add a new calendar item, the calendar disappears, and now this is essentially, it's not really modal, but all I see is this item, and then when I add it, I can go back to the calendar. So if I'm adding 3 appointments for today, I don't get to see which ones I've already added, mm-hmm. right? And we based this panel where you create a new charge, that is just absolutely based on this. This was our primary example. And so I guess I decided that even though I'm creating a new charge for maybe something I paid in cash or my own card, I want to still be able to see the report. So, you know, here's a real example. When I was in Tech Ed Amsterdam, I took the tram over to the convention center. I think it's GBV Amsterdam, and it was $3.70 American, which was 270 euros. That's the difference between billed and transaction amount. And it was tram to the Rye. And the category is other travel and lodging. And then I say, oh, yeah, the purpose of this, by the way, is Tech Ed Amsterdam. Okay, so now I save this. And now I want to create a new one. I have 5 tram receipts. Which ones have I already entered? So making these two panels swap, but not making this part in here modal makes it easier for me to see what I've already entered and just go through my receipts and add things to the expense report. And then, of course, I also added some validation in here. The colors here, red on green, might want to revisit that. So you need a build amount, you need a transaction amount. So I've added some basic validation there also here as well. If I want to save this, then I've got some basic validation here. As well as you need to have expense items, you need to have a purpose, you need an approver, you need a cost center.
Okay. And so it's sort of interesting, when you went into the details, if you go back in and enter a new charge, you'll see we have two sort of close buttons to the extent that, you know, each one pertains to sort of the item details has its own close, its own save, and then the report, it's almost like the report itself, obviously, is sort of like the container of that. So that's something that's new in the sense that I have never seen sort of that kind of model. It's following models that are sort of within the guidelines, but it's sort of taking it a step further in terms of being able to sort of divvy up those two different panels and having their own sort of experiences within the two.
Yep. I mean, it totally makes sense. This is clearly closing the item detail. This is clearly closing the report. This is clearly saving the item detail. So rather than have a save report and save charge and close report button over here, or have a button that, you know, I guess if this was all modal, we could have a close button over here, but I decided that I didn't really want this to be modal. So this is pretty obviously the close item detail button, and this is pretty obviously the close report button, where I can save or discard or...
And then early on, we sort of had the discussion in terms of what actions should we actually sort of surface and have at that page level, like actually in your face, versus what really goes in the app bar. Because of course, the anticipation is that the gesture is sort of like is so kind of intuitive that you know that sort of most actions are in the app bar, and that the basically the content area really is for content and not sort of cluttered with buttons. And so deciding sort of what things are sort of like very, very important and you want really, really obvious, that you don't necessarily want to have the user have to make that extra gesture to sort of do something. And so, yeah, at one point, I think we had submit and we had save and we had close or something actually within the page body itself. And now we just have close and you can go do the other things within the app bar.
Yep.
And that's one of the things with the guidelines too, is basically sort of, you know, remove that clutter in terms of actions and use the app bar for most everything. Sorry, go ahead, Robert.
And it takes a little bit of getting used to train yourself that things are down in the app bar, but
But there are some things like when you select an item.
Yeah,
when you select an item, then usually the app bar kind of surfaces on its own, like it comes up, so it's disclosed.
So it becomes obvious. It immediately shows up. Makes no sense to select one of these if you're not going to do anything with it. You could make the app bar sticky, but a sticky, or always up, but a sticky, what's the difference between a sticky app bar and just putting the buttons on the canvas? And then, you know, if you've got a number of items, this is just taking up screen real estate, whereas maybe you just want to be able to view everything in here and everything in here. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense to just put as much as you can into the app bar.
Yeah, and we had talked early on, it's not supported yet. Like maybe one day we'll get a gesture of, you know, drag and drop. So instead of actually sort of, you know, having the explicit kind of action in the app bar to add.
Oh, it's supported.
You can just take that. Do we actually support it now?
Yeah.
When
it's supported, but
we didn't support it. Where is it then?
I think it is.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's up here. It's up here, but not in here yet.
So you can actually select it
would be doable.
And move it over.
Yeah. Right, I guess you'd want to be able to just drag items, so that would be a good feature to have in future versions. I will take that feedback. What we've also done here is added the ability to pin a report. So if I make this TechEd Amsterdam, and then I come down here and save this, and then pin it. So now I can pin this, the name here defaults to the purpose, and I can pin it to the start page. So now if I close this, go to the start page, I get a secondary tile here. When I click this, I go directly to... Oh, no.
Mm-mm. You ran into a problem.
I know why, because I saved an expense report with no expense items.
Doing a little bit of debugging as we go.
Yeah, shockingly, there are probably bugs in this app. Okay, so let's try this again. Didn't I say unpin? Unpin. There we go. There we go. Now, if I start this up and then come in here, and I need something in here, so let's add this charge, and then let's say miscellaneous things, and now I save this. So I have a choice now of submitting or not submitting. I once had a save and a submit report button. I got rid of the submit report button, and now I'm asking you, are you ready to submit it or not? So I'm going to say, no, I don't want to submit the report. Now the report's been saved, which takes me back here. It shows up here, and now what I can do is pin it. Now this will work. Okay, so now if I close this, and go out to here, miscellaneous things. Now I'm taken directly to that, and I can unpin it from here, or I can unpin it from the start page. So that's a nice way, and it's not a heck of a lot of code either, of being able to create a secondary tile and jump directly to a spot in the app. And then obviously I need to add a little bit, I need to disable the pin button if the report hasn't been saved, apparently. So I'm actually going to write that down. I brought my notes.
Before you forget.
Yeah, no kidding. Disable pin if report not saved. Because what I did was I ignored the error message, which said, please add an expense item to this report. And then I clicked pin anyway. Okay. So
we're sort of going through. If you go back to the PDF, I think we went through a lot of the points. I can just sort of quickly make sure that we. This is interesting. At one point, we had our charges on the right in terms of your expense report, and then you select one. You see your charge details, and the notion of there being sort of an explicit edit mode. So you actually kind of have to go in because at some point, Robert hasn't got it implemented yet. I think there's going to be probably a condition where you're in the middle of entering sort of or updating information about your charge, so you'll be updating your information on the left there, mm-hmm. and then you're going to go do something, like you could select another charge, but you don't know whether you've kind of saved that data. There's no implicit save, right? So if you continue on to the next screen.
So right now
sure
I'm just ignoring it.
Yeah.
I'm tossing out those.
Yeah. So there, then you sort of do your update, you save, and so next, if you go to the next slide, you haven't got this far, I don't think. I think we'll need at some point something a messaging like this
probably.
Where basically you have to ask the user what to do. So
yeah.
I've got some data that I've sort of updated, then I go navigate elsewhere to another charge,
so
and
like
we
a,
need to know.
So like a typical developer, I'm going to realize I have to do that and I'm going to wait for more than one person to complain about it and then I'll add it.
Yeah, and you'll see here in this early mock-up.
I would deny ever having said that, but we're recording this, so yes, I said it.
I'll say, Robert, we talked about this.
We did.
Yeah, you'll see. Like, this is an earlier version too, in the actual what we call these wireframes, black and white sort of schematics. The upper right there, you'll see this is kind of following mail application. Sort of at one point we thought close, we had save, we had submit up there, and since then kind of reduced that to just the close.
Right.
Just seeing what else we had. Oh yeah, next slide. One thing we haven't implemented either, so all these are little reminders, you see.
Ooh.
This was kind of useful for
I did
Robert
implement
too.
This, though.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, I did do that.
So they know,
so
it's notifications.
Actually, let's create a new one. So let's do this. Let's delete the purpose and then try and save this. Mm-hmm. There. following the guideline that says you put notifications in line as opposed to popping up messages.
Yeah. Which if you go back to the other one, this is a little bit different in the sense that there's underlying data. So often with the Amex, like say you had a business meal out, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure if you guys have the same policies as I used to, where you had to sort of enter names in terms of if you had guests or something.
Okay.
Or
yep.
Yeah. So the system actually knows that there's actually information that you have to enter before you can submit.
So it could certainly, if I add a new charge and I selected entertainment, then I could... I could certainly add a text box, and then when I go and save this, which is up here, so right now I've got validation, enter a merchant name, so I could certainly put enter names of people you entertained.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm doing it in line as opposed to popping up messages. The guidelines say put things in line. It may be a little bit harder to see, but those are the guidelines.
Yeah, because in this case, it's like merchant name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if it's actually an item that's sort of in your report already, then and there's information missing before you can submit it, it's like you have to know, go to the details. It's sort of under the covers, so we have to surface it at that top, at that top level.
Yeah. So you could certainly do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have some basic validation in there.
And then another point was, if you recall the earliest hub, we had some things like my approved reports. And we've actually moved that now. So from the hub for the regular employee coming in, there's certain things that we have deemed not quite so necessary in terms of what
right.
their sort of daily activities are and sort of how to actually access those that kind of information. So if we go back to this is the hub, and then our first thought was actually to put it in the app bar, in the bottom app bar, in terms of their, like the manager there's going to be reporting and such.
Right.
And then since then, I've sort of noticed with some of the Metro apps that have come out with the flat navigation. If you go to the next slide there, Robert. I think I have it in there. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Originally, just with IE, the browser, you know, they would use the tabs up top for new tabs, so it's dynamic. And since then, I've seen, this is with Bing, and I think MSNBC, as their news app, has the same kind of notion where from the hub, if there's content that you want the user to actually be able to access, using this flat tab kind of navigation up top to sort of get it as a way to get to secondary content. So since our initial kind of thoughts in terms of how to get to sort of that other types of information, I'm suggesting we actually kind of now use the top app bar. So it's still the app bar. It's just sort of like, you know, things are evolving in terms of the patterns for Metro apps as sort of more people are creating applications and following guidelines, but they're guidelines. So yes, it's interpretation. So
The navigation, I think it's called typically called the navigation bar, but in the navigation bar for this app, we'd have reporting, maybe FAQs or news items or, you know, helpful hints or I guess if you put help or how to use this, you know, kind of in documentation type stuff, you could add all of that in here and then you'd be able to presumably, I guess you'd also have a home in here so that if you are, you know, all the way back, you know, if you're here and you call up the app bar, then the nav bar would come here, would show you reporting, news. If you were in here and you called up the nav bar, you'd have a home, potentially. Or you might just say, you know what, no home, you have to click this button because then you have to, that's where we ask if you want to save or discard. So you could decide based on the scenario, and actually now that I think about it, I probably wouldn't put home there because I don't want to short circuit the validation. That close button is checking whether or not you have changes on, you know, that needs saving.
Actually, on that point, it's interesting because we had with the, if you go to your manager view, actually sort of approving reports.
Mm-hmm.
Go if you pretend you're your manager.
Well, pretend I'm a manager. You're doing great. You deserve a raise.
So we have if you go full screen there. Just so other people can see. So we have the report, two expense reports. That's a report for Robert Green. Actually, we have updated this one. At one point, we had a home button in the lower left.
Yeah.
And so we actually have just the X now. So you can tell we're sort of like evolving this as we go. So we had discussed having a home actually in the lower left of the app bar, and that's actually becoming more and more common in a way of actually getting users. With this one, we could do that because you don't require the validation, right?
Right.
There's no validation. You can just, because there's, you know, what we see is what we get, right?
Exactly.
There. Yep. Yeah.
So here you could put the home button, whether it's here or up here, and circumvent this close, because all this close does is close the page and go back to the home page. This is, you're certainly allowed to come in here and look at these, and maybe you pin it, maybe you don't, maybe you just look to see what's out there and say, yeah, I'll get to this later, and exit, and then come back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because that is interesting, how to get back to the hub, because with the other sort of hub and spoke, where the spokes are these kind of content section pages, you usually have, you know, the round kind of go back right in the top left. And we don't have that. Our sections are really kind of our experiences of report creation or it's the manager approval. So our spokes need to be able to still get back to the hub.
Yeah.
And we just have a different sort of spoke experience rather than, you know, a section. It's the actual our application experience, basically.
Yeah, in a browsing application where you're reading news items or RSS, you know, blogs or whatever, you can have this passive action of going back. But in a line of business data application, it's not so much a passive action. It's an active action. I'm not going to do anything with these. Right? These things are here. I'm expected at some point to do something with these. I'm going to choose not to. And certainly, when I come in and work on an unsubmitted report, I'm making a choice that I'm done working on it. I'm going to save it or discard the changes and go back. Certainly here, I'm going to make a choice of not creating an expense report from these. For the pending reports, where this is literally just a read-only page, you could have the home button, but it doesn't make any sense to have it in one place and not the other three. So I'll stick, for consistency, I would just stick with the close button, I think. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was thinking about was we had discussed, I don't think you've done, maybe you have snap kind of stuff.
I have not done snapping yet.
I have a quick mock-up in that PDF.
Okay, well, let's go back to that. Here we go. Okay, so you absolutely have to add snapped mode to an application. People can snap your app, they will, and the app should adjust. Right now, this app would just be very, very narrow, and you'd be expected to scroll backwards and forwards, and it would quickly become fairly unusable. I haven't explicitly added snapping to that. I think that's one last thing.
Yeah, looking at sort of applications in terms of how to handle sort of the small aspect of the snap. Right here we see messaging, and then we MS Expense is our application. It's sort of like the small real estate snap. Mm-hmm. And how much to actually sort of allow functionality. When it's content, it's sort of like you can sort of surface the high-level content in there, and then you drill down.
Right.
But when it's an application, like how much feature functionality can you sort of fit in within that little section? And it seems, I mean, in terms of usability, it probably makes sense not to sort of like actually, and I think in terms of coding as well, like these are all different size icons and everything if you have to sort of put things in that toolbar. But really, it's not really usable to sort of get the user to do anything within that. So just having it sort of in terms of content and then enforcing the sort of the user to actually go into the full screen or the largest snap mode to actually do what they need to do.
So I could see, you could certainly have the main page in snapped view. You could certainly view pending reports, view reports that need to be approved. There's no reason that you couldn't fit the charge, the details, the expense item details in a very long, skinny list and then have approve, reject. For actual creating or editing, I probably would disable that in snap mode. I don't know how much sense it's going to make to have the list of unreconciled charges And then below that, the actual expense report, you're going to spend your time scrolling up, scrolling down. So I would probably disable the actual creation and editing of expense reports. Just put up a message that says, you know, this functionality, please go back to full mode to work on an expense report. But to view the main page or to view saved or reports needing approval, I think I would add that in Snapped View, and I would give the manager the ability to approve a report in Snapped View as well, because then it's just viewing data. And if you need to go to full view to get more detail, then you could easily do that if that becomes easier. So yeah, I need to add that.
Yep. This is just sort of an exploration in terms of like getting down to the level of detail and how much to sort of allow the user to do in that small. And I think each application, especially once we're getting into sort of these kind of more, you know, enterprise transactional applications, we'll see, basically it shouldn't be supported in terms of real, you know, a lot of functionality. It should just be sort of focusing on that content and probably like allowing the user to go into full screen mode to sort of do what they really need to do.
Right. But you definitely need to design for it. You definitely need to implement it. You know, what does the app do? If nothing else, if the app just says, you know, this app not supported in Snap mode, okay, fine. But right now, if I go to Snap mode, instead of having 1366 by 768, I have, what is it, 720? No, it's 368 by 768 or whatever it is. And then the whole screen is in there. It's just kind of, you know, the app would behave like, can I make this smaller? So this is what the app looks like in Snapped mode. Yeah, this is exactly what the app looks like in Snapped mode.
There you did it.
Yeah, there you go. You know, all the information's there, but what kind of experience is that? And then when I do this, so here's the app in Snapped mode, right? Now it's useless.
Mm-hmm.
Or not that useful, anyway. So
another thing we haven't talked about, I don't know how many screenshots of it, but the start page and having active tiles. I'm not too sure how far.
You mean having live tiles?
Yes, live tiles.
You mean tiles that display information like how many charges you have?
Yes.
It's in there.
There you go.
It's in there.
Yes. Yeah.
So right now I only have one in here. How many charges do you have? But I could certainly add, you know, number of outstanding charges you have, number of pending saved reports or pending, number of, or unsubmitted is the actual term, number of reports you have that need approval. Then for a manager, you would also add one that says number of reports for X amount waiting your approval. You're allowed up to five of these, you're allowed to queue up five of these sort of notifications on your live tiles. I'm only using one right now. And again, the code to do that is not very difficult at all. So I do have that. Oh, what I also have, which I think is very cool, is I have also implemented share contract. So if I go into I think the best case is the manager comes in, looks at this expense report. I'm going to go to full screen for a second. Looks at this expense report and says, oh, you bought a hard drive, and then Windows S? No, what is?
Oh, have you just looked it up? See?
Did I just close the app? No.
Windows C, wasn't it?
Windows C for the charms. Okay, so now when I share, I can share any app on here that supports sharing will show up like Quick Note or Mail. So the manager goes into Mail and says,
what's this about?
Why didn't you purchase this through the usual manner, as opposed to going to Hard Drives Northwest and buying it? Now, in reality, I have in the notes explained why, but apparently it's not showing up on here. So either I didn't enter it or it's not showing up. And then the manager could email this and send it to me.
Very impressed.
Yep. And then also for sharing, could use QuickNote. That will share as well. So that's kind of cool. So, you know, using the unique features of Windows. I don't have searching in yet. On a page like this, I don't know how useful searching is, but certainly on the reporting pages, searching would be very useful. I, as a manager, might want to search expense reports for Tech Ed, or me as an employee, I want to know last year how much did I spend on dinner at Tech Ed, because, you know, I want to know this year did I go over. I go to my manager and say, how much can I spend on dinner at Tech Ed? And he says, well, about the same as you did last year. And, okay, so, you know, go look up what you did last year and you know, be reasonable. So on a reporting page, I would want to be able to search on Tech Ed and pull up expense reports on Tech Ed. Or I might want to pull up a charge. You know, I go to Hard Drives Northwest, and I want to see what that charge was. So if I've got, you know, a number of charges or something that I charged in the past. So that's certainly something that I want to add to the app, but it really only makes sense once we have more of a reporting capability added to it.
Yeah, really, it's about the content, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's no need to search on this page because there's only a couple things. Okay.
I think that was the end of the slides that I provided there, Robert.
Yep. Okay. So that's the app. So I think at this point we've reviewed everything that's in the app. As I said at the beginning, the app is very, very close to being able to be made publicly available. I fully intend to next week make it publicly available, and I'll update everybody as to exactly where it is and how you get it. I need to give it more once-over, need to write up instructions on how you install it. Right now the app, I should just say, is XAML with C#, calls a WCF service that talks to SQL Server data. So it's really designed to mimic what a real enterprise-y line of business type app would look like. Internally here at Microsoft, our expense data doesn't live in SQL Server, it lives in Dynamics, but the app doesn't care because it's calling a service. It's calling that WCF service, and that service can point to anything. There are additional things I'd like to add to the app, including local storage, so, you know, be able to not necessarily use SQL Server or take it offline. Obviously, the snapping, which I really want to get in before next week. And then there's
and
a couple
we'll
other things.
It up. Styling, a bit of styling.
Yeah, the styling. Because it's me as a developer, I'm pretty proud of how close I got to what you guys came up with, but I recognize that there's still a gap.
The
It's not like this, but there's a gap. So I think somebody with a little bit better ability to, you know, style it and could make it look a little bit. Like, it can make it look a lot closer to what you guys have with not a huge amount of work, so I'm hoping to be able to do that.
You've done good, though, Robert.
Thanks. You too. All right. So, thank you very much, Nadine. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I hope you guys found this useful, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
So long for now.